Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Another Sunday with no Packers football, but that does not mean we don't have Packers stuff to talk about. We always have Packers stuff to talk about 365 days a year. We'll never let you down. We've never missed a day since we started doing this, and all things willing, we never will. Today, we're going to be talking about key players in contract years. And Green Bay has a significant group of players. We're going to talk about eight of them today that are in contract years. And why we talk about this is for a couple of reasons. Number one, it does happen. It is human nature that sometimes, just sometimes, players that are in contract years that have the ability to go out and make, I don't know, a massive amount of money in free agency can sometimes play better when they are in that contract year. So we could see maybe some jumps in play from these players. That would be nice. You would certainly not be upset about that. Also, it's always great to look ahead to who are your free agents a year from now and what positions may you need to fill. What positions maybe you want to see some guys step into in case you lose some of these players in the 2025 offseason. Now, before we get to the eight players that we are going to talk about, one player we're not going to talk about, despite him technically being in a contract year, is Jordan Love. As I talked about the other day, I have 0% concern right now of any sort of Jordan Love contract issue, even in an unbelievable situation where Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers do not come to a contract agreement. You still have the franchise tag next year. We don't even need to mention those words at this point. I think every indication is that this is going to get done sooner rather than later. But talking about Jordan Love as if he's going to be in a contract year or that he could be an unrestricted free agent next year is complete foolery. It's not going to happen. So foolishness, not foolery, foolishness. You get my point. It's ridiculous to talk about. So we're not going to talk about Jordan Love as a contract year player, despite the fact that as we record this today, he is not under contract in 2025. But I'm willing to bet you a lot of money that he will be at this time next year on a very nice, very lucrative contract and set to be a Packer for the foreseeable future. So let's start then by talking about the eight players that are under contract or are in contract years, are not under contract next year, and that are worth talking about at this time. Number one on this list has to be Kenny Clark. Kenny's a very interesting case study as to what Green Bay will do with him. Some of me wants to kind of think that if they did not get a deal done by now, it could be a little less likely that they get one done with him. I don't know, maybe going into next offseason. There is plenty of time to get this done. And I don't know. The weird thing with this conversation is nothing you would tell me would be totally shocking. If you told me that this weekend, Kenny Clark and the Packers got a contract done, I could easily see that happening. I think Green Bay is extremely happy with Kenny Clark. Kenny seems extremely happy in Green Bay. He has a key role still within this defense. He's still in his 20s, which seems ridiculous. It seems like he's played here for forever. We know how young he was coming out, but still in his 20s right now. And I think he's going to fit extremely well in this Jeff Hafley defense. It would not surprise me one bit if Green Bay got a longer term deal done with Kenny Clark, or even just a deal that extended him out a year or two. That would be within the realm of possibility as well. It also, and I still might be the only one that's in this boat. I don't know of a lot of people who are paddling with me. It still would not surprise me or shock me if Kenny Clark went into free agency next year. The reason that I say that is I know how the Packers operate. They don't give a lot of number three contracts or third contracts to players. It's just not what they do. And I know we all get attached to these players. We all love Kenny Clark. I love watching Kenny Clark play football. One of my all-time, ever since I started doing this and breaking down film, I mean, there are a few in the conversation with, you know, Kenny Clark for how much I enjoy watching him play. Period. End of story. Still, even this past season, still going at a very high level. However, as I mentioned, very infrequent that Green Bay gives out a third contract, even to a player like Kenny Clark. And we sort of have to come to grips with the fact that a lot of these Packers that we know and love don't end up Packers when even we still want them to. And we saw that with Aaron Jones this past offseason. There's a variety of reasons why maybe you would want Kenny to go into this season, maybe at least a little bit, to see where he's still at. Is there any drop-off in play? Does he maybe not fit Jeff Hafley's defense quite as well as we maybe expect him would? Are there wear and tear? Are there injuries? Sort of like we saw with Aaron Jones a season ago, where Aaron Jones' play on the field was telling us he's still great, but three separate soft tissue type injuries for Aaron Jones were telling us, all right, we might be getting to a point where his body is wearing down on him. Do we see any of that with Kenny Clark? Despite the fact that he is still in his 20s, despite the fact that he will not turn 30 until next October, there is a ton of wear and tear on his body. He's played 6,032 snaps in his career so far per PFF. And if we look at his grades per PFF, here's where they were at, or here's where it's kind of trended. 74.8 as a rookie, 87.3, 90.2 at the peak of his powers. Ever since that 90.2 in year three, 79.5, 76.1, 75.4, 66.4, and then a slight bump back to 70.4 this season. But there has been a fairly significant overall decline year by year over the course of the last 5 years. That is not to say that Kenny is a bad player. He is clearly, without saying, a very, very talented football player still that is still helping this Packers defense in a significant way. My grades, plus 10.95, plus 13.10, plus 11.70, plus 9.8, plus 11.70, and then over the last 2 years is where mine fell off a little bit more, plus 4.25, plus 4.65. It should also be noted that in that 4.25 year, he was still, I think, the highest graded player on defense that year. And then 4.65, I think he was first in 1 year, second in the other on defense of all my defensive players. So, you know, he was either best or second best still in the last two seasons on defense, despite those numbers falling off a little bit. But we have seen a little bit of a decline in Kenny Clark. I don't know how much I need to say this, and I hope you guys understand enough. I know we're all, again, I'll say it, we're all fans of Kenny. This is not and I just said he's not one of my top two players the last two seasons. Saying that there's been a decline is just realistic. That's just business. That's just age. That's just reality. That's not to, again, say that he's not a fantastic player. He very, very much is. And I think we would all like Kenny to be on the team next year. But when you have had some decline, when he is starting to get to age 30, when there have been a ton of snaps on his body, you kind of want to see how that plays out a little bit before you give him this huge contract. We always have to remember, giving out a contract is not for what they were, it's for what they're going to be. It's for what they will be during the length of that contract. Giving Kenny a contract right now, if Green Bay does sign him to a contract this weekend or in the near future, that will look really good to, I think, everyone. I don't know of a single person who's going to be upset of like, oh my goodness, they gave Kenny a contract? No, I think everyone's going to be cool with that. But if 2 years from now, Kenny's making a bunch of money that's guaranteed and he's not playing anywhere near the same, and we maybe saw that coming during the course of this season, then some of those things get viewed a little bit differently. And that's why you kind of want to cover your bases and maybe just go into this season a little bit to see where's Kenny at with everything. And if he still looks great, you give him that big deal for maybe 2 to 3 more years and you let things play out. But either way, this will be a very big decision for Green Bay. This is a massive piece of the Packers' defense. This is a massive piece of their entire roster. And I'm still very bullish on what Kenny's going to be this season. I think Ross Uglum talked about this, but there are few players, there are very few players, I'll just put it that way, who can play the quote-unquote nose tackle position in Jeff Hafley's defense and have the pass rush ability that Kenny Clark has. His ability to still push the pocket and get into the backfield while also being a dominant run defender at that spot is unbelievably impressive and so freaking valuable. And I'll put it this way too. If I were betting here, if you had to put me on the spot, I very much think that Kenny Clark is a Green Bay Packer in 2025. I would be willing to bet that more than the other direction. But I've also watched this long enough where when a guy is ready to get a third contract, Green Bay pushes the pause button far more often than not and kind of waits to see how things play out. So I'm not necessarily telling you what I would do. I'm trying to read the tea leaves of saying what the Packers might do. And I think this could be a situation where they let this play out a little bit longer than maybe people are expecting. And I would not be totally shocked if he did become a free agent next year. And even if he does, that doesn't mean that he can't necessarily still be a Packer, that they can't re-sign him. So a long journey here for Kenny that, like I said, could be over soon if they just give him a contract in the next, I don't know, month or so, or it could go longer than that, but just be prepared for that. And I'm okay with that. I want to see how he's kind of performing. I want to see if there's any wear and tear, any injuries that start to pile up just because there have been that many snaps. By the way, just as an aside, you know, when we talk about 6,000 snaps in his career, I was just kind of looking to how that compared. You know, J.J. Watt played 9,000. You know, Aaron Donald was in that 9,000 range. Freaking Calais Campbell, over 12,000. He's over double Kenny Clark's snaps in his career and is still looking for a team to play for this season. Like just, and he's played really well still all the way through. So just because Kenny Clark has had 6,000 snaps doesn't mean that he doesn't have four or five good years of football ahead of him, because guys like Calais Campbell have been able to do that. Now, Calais is a freak. He's the exception to the rule, but Kenny could still have some very, very good years of football ahead of him. But either way, very big decision for Green Bay coming up with Kenny. What a week in sports we just witnessed. Caitlin Clark made her WNBA debut. The Celtics, Pacers, T-Wolves, and Mavs all advanced to their conference finals. The Stars, Panthers, and Rangers advanced in the NHL playoffs. And the PGA Championship was an epic final Sunday, and I'm sure I'm missing about 1,000 other things. This week, we get an epic Canucks-Oilers Game 7, and the conference finals will kick off in both the NHL and NBA, so basically, it's going to be amazing. But it could be more amazing with Prize Picks. This playoff season, add to the excitement by utilizing Prize Picks star players. Starred players on the board could earn you a 10% payout boost if they are in your winning lineup. And it's easier than ever to get started with quick withdrawals, easy deposits, simple gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types. It's why Prize Picks is the number one fantasy sports app. This week, I'm going with Connor McDavid, Miles Turner, and Breanna Stewart in the WNBA. I get excited every time I make my selections, and this week is going to be no different. And of course, as always, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hey friends, anybody who knows me well knows that I don't get stressed out very easily. I'm able to handle most situations and events and limit nervousness and anxiety. That was not always the case, however. In college, I had bills piling up, tuition to pay, poor credit, and I just recently lost a job as well. I had no idea how important credit was, how credit worked, and I had next to no credit history. Let's just say my stress level was at an all-time high. I wish College Andy had access to Kickoff, the fastest, easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit. It would have saved me a bunch of worries and certainly some sleepless nights. I recently discovered Kickoff online. It was so easy to sign up and get started. I quickly noticed an improvement in my credit score, and the entire process was so simple and hassle-free. If you're unfamiliar with Kickoff, it's time to get up to speed. Kickoff is a smart, legit credit hack with no catch and no credit check. You make on-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. Sign up within minutes on your phone and start building credit right away. You simply use autopay to build credit while you sleep, and you get the added benefit of never having to worry about missing a payment. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there, and what really sold me was that they have over 100,000 positive reviews, and 98% of them are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Sign up today and get your first month for $1 at getkickoff.com/packaday. That's Kickoff without a C, getkickoff.com/packaday. Special offer applies to new Kickoff premium customers for their first month only, subject to approval and only available on getkickoff.com/packaday. Terms of offer are subject to change. Number two on my list is Eric Stokes. We've talked a lot about Eric Stokes lately, so I'm not going to spend a huge chunk of time here. Basically did like an episode dedicated to him. We talked about him yesterday in our X Factors episode. We've talked a lot about Eric Stokes, but he will be 26 years old next March. They did not pick up his fifth year option. The career trajectory here has been bizarre. good as a rookie, PFF plus 1.25, then, I had him as a plus 1.25, then a negative 3.65 in year two, a negative 0.25 in just two games a season ago. PFF, 65.5 is rookie year, 53.7 in year two, 51.5 in limited snaps last season. So good rookie season by all accounts. The last 2 years, not so much, even when he has been on the field. He did get those starter snaps in OTAs, but how well can he play this season? That's going to be the differentiating factor here as to whether or not Eric Stokes is even in the conversation for a contract with Green Bay next year. Somebody that maybe if he starts playing great midway through the year, Green Bay opens up the dialogue with he and his agent. But this is all predicated on how well Eric Stokes plays this season and if he can really get back to even playing the way that he was as a rookie. I think that's all we need to say here. This is a massive year for Eric Stokes. And the difference here for Stokes, if he goes out and has a really good year, he will get paid in the offseason. It is hard to find good corners. Even with his injury history, even with it being a small sample size, if he goes out and performs as a true starting corner this year with no issues, he will get paid either by the Packers or some other team in the offseason. If he doesn't, I don't know, you're probably looking at like a one-year, $4 million deal for some team taking a flyer on him. And he's probably just in that Kevin King trajectory where you probably, you know, just go kind of year by year and see if maybe he can live up to expectations. And maybe that's in Green Bay, maybe that's somewhere else. But this is a huge, huge season for Eric Stokes and a big-time contract year for him. Next up is TJ Slayton. I talked about this a little bit in our make or break episode with Perry Goldstein, but TJ Slayton is another player, just like Eric Stokes, that has the ability to go in two very wide directions with what he gets as a free agent next offseason. If we sort of get the same TJ Slayton experience, where it's one really good game that makes you go, wow, one bad game that makes you go, what the heck was that? And a bunch of nondescript games that you don't even really recognize he's out on the field, he's probably going to get, I don't know, 1 year, $5 million, 2 years, $10 million on the open market with not a ton of guarantees. Some team will still pay him, but he's going to get paid as a rotational guy. And even less than that, if he has a bad season. If he goes out and has his best season, I don't know, some team could give him like a $46 million deal, 3 year, 45. If he had like an amazing season, like he'd have to have a pretty epic season, but like 3 year, 45, 3 years, 40, maybe 3 years, 40. Like he could get that in the offseason. Like the difference between a 1 year, $4 million deal and 3 years, 40 mil is pretty significant for a guy like TJ, but he has that ability. There are very few humans on earth that are 330 pounds, can stop the run, and can move like he does. They just don't make them. And NFL teams are always looking for them and are always willing to give them chances because there are so few of them. And when TJ's only played for one team, it just takes one other team to say, yeah, you know what? Maybe he didn't work in Green Bay, but we're going to find a way to make him work wherever we are. Like we're going to, with our team. I think he probably gets a nice contract, but he's a player who turns 27 in October. PFF grades, 52.8, 61.7, and 62.3. And for me, plus 0.25, plus 0.3, negative 0.1. We are talking about the quintessential, just average player, don't notice him out on the field a lot. And I'll say one more time, there's a ton of value in that. Rotational defensive linemen who aren't going to hurt you when they're on the field and can help you stop the run are very valuable, especially when they're 330 and can move like Slayton does. So he has a lot of value in the league, but this is a contract year. This is his ability to go out and show in a new defense, hey, I am really good and you should pay me like I'm really good. But it's going to take him performing at that level to do so. He was still the next guy up next to Kenny Clark as a starter in OTAs. I still expect him to kind of be that guy. Think of Kenny Clark is going to play the majority of your snaps. Slayton probably more on early downs. Devontae Wyatt, Carl Brooks, more guys that play in more obvious passing downs. But this is a key piece to the Packers defensive line. How he plays in Jeff Hafley's system will go a long way as well, but he fits well. He should have the opportunity to have a very big season, but this is a player that with the right season gets a big contract and can massively help Green Bay this season. And if not, it's just sort of ho-hum, TJ Slayton, he'll be fine, nothing great, nothing bad. You can get by with him and some team will give him a modest contract to do that for them next offseason. And maybe that's Green Bay, maybe it's not, but a lot of that will be dependent upon TJ Slayton's play this year. That brings us to number four, the one, the only, Josh Myers, one of the more polarizing figures in Green Bay football. As much as Green Bay wants to say it, I still can't get on track with the best football of his career. I will say this. The Packers very clearly liked or seemed to like him much more than consensus, much more than PFF, much more than myself, much more than fans, much more than pretty much anyone. There does seem to be a level of respect and admiration within 1265 for the way that Josh Myers plays football. And I do want to say this. There is more to what Josh Myers brings to the table than we just see on his actual play and pass protection and run blocking. His ability to communicate at the line of scrimmage, get all the checks in there, work with Jordan Love. Apparently he and Jordan have a great rapport. Those things are extremely important. So whether or not you love him as a pass protector, whether or not you love him as a run blocker, that other aspect is important. And by all accounts, he does that aspect of the job very, very well. But from a pure blocking standpoint, it has certainly been a lot left to be desired. He will turn 27 next July. They just drafted Jacob Monk, who projects as a pure center. That's a late fifth round pick. It's not like they drafted somebody in the second round who's clearly going to take his job, but Monk has that potential starting ability down the line. They still have Elgton Jenkins, who can play center. And we heard from Rob Domofsky this offseason that Green Bay believes that Zach Tom could be a Hall of Fame center if they ever wanted to move him there. Myers, for my grading scale, plus 0.1 is rookie season, negative 4.15, negative 4.7. Per PFF, 54.9, 60.4, 54.7. So has not quite lived up to his second round expectations. Again, the calls and checks at the line, super important. That rapport with Jordan Love, super important. But we also need to see just a better baseline of play from Myers. And I've talked about all the time, Myers is one of those players that if you put together his 10 best snaps from any game, he looks fantastic. He looks really, 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 really good. Looks the part, looks like he should be a Pro Bowl center. You take another 10 of his snaps from the game, his worst 10, and man, you have to question, like, that guy's an NFL caliber center? It looks totally different. And it's just that level of consistency that you want to see from Josh, where the good stuff looks so good and the average stuff looks fine. But if you can just eliminate some of the bad from each of those games, he becomes a much better center and a true reliable player that you probably are looking at giving a contract extension to. But that's going to be up to Josh and how he plays this upcoming season. Number five on my list, AJ Dillon turns 27 next May. I think one of the things that we just need to say, regardless of if we think AJ Dillon can be that playmaker, which I think it's clear that he cannot be, he has been a solid player in Green Bay. Good in pass pro, catches the ball in the backfield, good running back, usually gets better the longer the season goes on. There are some positives that he brings to the table. PFF has loved him for forever. 78.3, 86.2, 81.4, 75.7. Good grades in all 4 years. Even my grading scale, plus 2.4, plus 5.7 in that second season, which was really, really good. Plus 1.85, plus 1.4. He's still grading in the positive. This is not a player who is hurting you when he is on the field. That is a very valuable type of player to have, especially if he's projecting as your number three running back. That is a luxury to have as a number three running back. But that lack of playmaking does hurt him. And this is still a playmaking league where, as I said yesterday, your playmakers at your playmaking positions have to, surprise, surprise, make plays. And Dillon hasn't made enough of those. So it is up to him, and he knows it. He has said it. He is aware of it. He needs to find a way to make more explosive plays within this offense. And if he can do it, he didn't get that big contract this offseason. He didn't even get a medium-sized contract. He got pretty much the smallest contract. He did get a little bit of a bonus there from that extra contract option that Green Bay was able to use on him. But from a salary cap standpoint, he's making the minimum. And if he wants that one more contract, that big contract, this is the year he has to show out. And it's not going to be easy because you've got Josh Jacobs. You've got Marshawn Lloyd. Like last year, he had a lot of opportunity to show himself as the guy. And quite frankly, he just couldn't do it. And last year was arguably his worst season. And we've seen a bit of a decline these last two seasons. So what AJ Dillon we get in 2024 will go a long way. And as I've said, there's no guarantee he even gets that number three spot. I'd say extremely likely, but that's job number one. Then when he does get those opportunities, what can he do with them? And can he be a little bit more of a playmaker this year to help him with that contract in 2025? Number six, Corey Ballantyne. He will be 29 next April. He did sign a one-year $2.06 million deal with $500,000 guaranteed, so he's extremely likely to make the roster and have a role in this team. Core special team player, and we saw him step up in a variety of big games a season ago as a starter and hold his own. Now, PFF, 36.6 grade in New York his first season, 36.7 in New York his second season, 46.0 as a Packer in year three, but only played 17 snaps. When he finally got an opportunity last year in Green Bay, 60.8 grade on 534 snaps. I had a negative 1.7 grade on him, but still stepping in as a practice squad guy that was never expected to be more than a special teamer and actually coming in and starting against big games against the Lions and the Chiefs and the Chargers. He did really, really well overall. He's a core piece of the, you know, kind of the backup defenders, a guy that you can trust in there at any given moment, but he'll probably have opportunities again this year. And if he has a nice season, another solid grade on another 500 snaps, he probably gets another decent contract next offseason. If not, if he takes a step back, if last year was just a blip and his other seasons where he struggled was more the true indicator of who Corey Ballantyne is, maybe doesn't play up to expectations on special teams, well, he probably doesn't have many more years left in the league in that case. So big time contract year for Corey Ballantyne. What opportunities he gets will remain to be seen, but when he does get them, he needs to make the most of them. Number seven, Andre Dillard. I say it again, just this last year in Tennessee, he signed a three-year, $29 million deal with $13 million guaranteed. Former first-round pick, big-time potential. This year for Green Bay, one-year vet minimum, zero guaranteed. He went from priority free agent to nobody wanted him. Talk about a contract year. If he gets an opportunity... And he should at some point this year. If he makes the team, he's probably going to have to go in as a swing tackle at some point. If he shows well, he's going to continue to play in this league for the foreseeable future. He has that type of ability. Listen, you don't have to be a great offensive lineman to stay in this league a while as an offensive lineman. If he can just prove that he is a quality swing tackle that can go in and be okay and you don't have to change your offense, there is a ton of value in that. And like I said, he will continue his career for the foreseeable future. If he struggles in Green Bay or doesn't make it in Green Bay, that might just be it. He might not get another chance. He had opportunities in Philly, didn't make the most of it, had another huge opportunity in Tennessee, got benched, I think, on three different occasions. And now if he can't make it in Green Bay, you're probably just done. He will be 28 in October, 29 next season. This is not a young, still up-and-coming player that you're thinking is going to break out at any given moment. But I do think there is a player here who could fill in that Yash Nyman role. I loved him coming out of college. Now, I'm not expecting him to be this big-time player for Green Bay, but again, if he can just get back to being a swing tackle, which I think it was year two in Philly, where he had a good season as a swing tackle, stepped in, there was no noticeable decline in the offense. If he can just be that, there's so much value in that. But again, this is up to Andre Dillard. If he shows any signs of improvement and can do that, he's going to get another deal next year. If he can't, that might just be it. And Andre Dillard might be, you know, just one of the great first-round busts of the last decade if that ends up being the case. Next up, Isaiah McDuffie. Last one here. Core special teams guy with backup linebacker credentials who's come in and started in a pinch and done mostly fine. He lined up as a starter in OTAs in the nickel. You have a feeling that that's probably going to be Edgerrin Cooper at some point. Will he be in the base or will that be Tyron Hopper? That'll be another big step for Isaiah McDuffie. The Packers just drafting two top 100 linemen or linebackers. Not great overall for his long-term opportunities, but he's still going to get chances this year. He knows Jeff Hafley's defense. Like I said, he's looked fine for the most part when given opportunities. He's got good instincts. He's better athletically than most people give him credit for. PFF, 58.6 grade, 57.1 grade over the last two seasons. I had negative 0.85 and negative 1.25 per my grading scale. Still young. Turns 25 in July, will just be 26 next season. So this is still a player with some potential that can still grow and should get some opportunities in Jeff Hafley's defense this year. If he makes the most of them, hopefully that's the case, and he gets a nice contract next year, probably still as a rotational linebacker type, but you never know. Some of these linebackers take a little bit longer to break out. Like I said, he does have good instincts, good athleticism, and I could see him having a good year in this Jeff Hafley defense. But again, that'll be up to McDuffie, and what his contract looks like in 2025 will be largely dependent upon how he plays in 2024. So my eight guys in contract years who hopefully we get the best versions of them so they do go out and earn those big contracts: Kenny Clark, Eric Stokes, TJ Slayton, Josh Myers, AJ Dillon, Corey Ballantyne, Andre Dillard, and Isaiah McDuffie. Kenny Clark, clearly the most interesting and the one that I think from a contract standpoint, we're going to be keeping the biggest eye on. But Eric Stokes, TJ Slayton, Josh Myers, all these guys, this is going to be a big year for them, and whether or not they get a big contract in the offseason, a small contract in the offseason, or what that looks like, but they need big 2024s, and Green Bay would love to get those big 2024s out of all eight of these guys. That is going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State and Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Michael Shipper. I'll see you guys back here tomorrow on Memorial Day. Hope you guys are enjoying your great weekend, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.